Today we're continuing our series, Guardrails. Last week we kicked this thing off, and we're using this physical picture of a guardrail to talk about something significant in our lives. And through this, we've been talking about what a guardrail means and how a guardrail is used. And it's something that we don't usually give a lot of thought to, but we interact with this all the time. They're around us all the time. And like we said last week, you never really think about it until you need them. And then when you need them, you're really, really glad that they're there. And last week, we kind of walked through the definition because we're using it a little bit differently than how it's actually defined. The actual definition of a guardrail, the physical guardrail, is a system designed to keep vehicles from straying into dangerous or off-limit areas. It's this system that's set up to be able to create a small accident in order to prevent a really big accident. And last week, as we talked about this, we talked about the fact that one of the unique things about a guardrail is that a guardrail isn't actually set up in the danger zone. A guardrail is set up a few yards before you get to the danger zone. And so the idea is that if I can create a small accident here, it's going to keep my momentum from reaching the large accident over here. And so we began to look at this and say, well, wait a second, what would it look like if we took this principle of creating guardrails just a few yards from danger? What would it look like if we began to take this principle and build this into our lives in all different aspects of our lives? And last week we talked through this principle and kind of introduced it, and this week we're going to dive into this and specifically as it relates to this thing we call friendship. Because friendship, while it's wonderful and while there's incredible potential for good, friendship also can be dangerous. And one of the unique things about friendship is that when I'm around people who accept me, when I'm around people that I'm comfortable with, I let my guard down. It's wonderful, right? Because you feel accepted, you feel loved, you feel cared for. You can be yourself, you can let your guard down, you can just be free. But it also makes you very susceptible to things that you wouldn't have been susceptible to otherwise, and all of a sudden you're in relationships with people who have an incredible amount of influence on you. Your parents realize this, right? Which is why they always chose who you should be friends with and who you shouldn't be friends with. Which for some of you that worked, for others of you it just drew you more towards those that they said you shouldn't be friends with. Right? Your parents realize, wait a second, in this situation with friendship there's a great amount of danger if you're not careful, right? If they could have, they would have arranged your marriage for you, right? Which a few years ago, some of you were like, that's terrible. But now you're like, man, I don't know. Sorry, that was a low blow. But they realize, wait a second, there's this incredible amount of danger with this idea of friendship. And so over and over again, they're like, be careful who you're with. Be careful who you're around, because if you're not careful, they can take you in the wrong direction. And all of us have probably experienced this in some way, shape, or form. I mean, some of the best decisions we've made in our lives and some of the worst decisions we've made in our lives, we've made because we were around certain people. And so that first cigarette that you smoked probably wasn't by yourself. It was probably with a friend. And I'm sure if we could look back, for a lot of us, we'd look back and see decisions that maybe we never really wanted to make, decisions that we never really thought we would ever make. But we found ourselves around a group of people with which we let down our guard, and all of a sudden it began to take us in a direction we never wanted to go. And so what we want to do today is we want to look at this idea of friendship and say, okay, wait a second, in this area of my life, is it possible to build guardrails that will keep me safe, that will keep me headed in the direction I want to be headed in, right? Because why? What's the goal of this whole thing? Last week, as we walked through that passage, what was the goal of these guardrails? That we would make the most of every day that we have. And so as it comes to this idea of friendship, is there something that we can do that will keep us safe? Are there things that we can institute that will keep us from danger and still allow us to experience everything that God has in store for us? And the crazy thing about this, the great thing about this, is that the Bible talks about this a lot. And the Bible talks about friendship and who we hang out with a lot. Because God, and we've been talking about this for several months now, because God relates to us as a father. And he says, listen, I want to come. He's, as a matter of fact, he says, I sent my son to die for you so that you could be adopted as my children. And I could begin to relate to you as a father. And so as he gives us his word over and over again in his word, he's saying, okay, as children, I want to guide and protect you. And one of the things that he talks about a lot is this idea of companionship. Who are we hanging out with? Who are our friends? And how do we make the most of every day in light of this thing that we call friendship? And there's one book in particular that talks about this more than any other. It's the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And over again, the writer is sharing with us these incredibly deep truths in these little tiny phrases. And today what I want us to look at, the passage that I want us to dive into and build on, is found in that book of Proverbs. And the passage that we're going to be looking at is actually found in chapter 13, verse 20. And it says this. It says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And the writer's writing to us, and he's saying, listen, I want you to understand something about this idea of friendship. I want you to understand something about who it is that you're hanging out with. He says, if you want to be wise, he says, walk with wise people. You want to make great decisions? Surround yourself with wise people. And some of you are saying, well, what do you mean, wise fool? What does this mean? Last week we talked about this for just a second, but I want to review this again. Again, biblically, the way that wisdom and foolishness is defined is that a wise person is the person who realizes that every decision I make is going to influence my future. Every decision I make is tied into the rest of my life. The fool is the one who makes a decision and thinks that, okay, I'm making this decision right now, I'm living in this moment, and has no consideration, no thought to how this is going to affect the rest of their life. And so they make this decision and say, okay, I'm going to do this right now, but later on, my life is going to head a different direction. And the Bible looks at that person and says, no, you're a fool. Everything that you're doing is taking you in a direction, and every decision that you make is going to impact your future. And so the writer's writing to us. He says, listen, I want to talk to you for a second about friendship. He says, if you want to be wise, you need to surround yourself with wise people. He says, even if you're dumb, if you surround yourself with wise people, it's going to rub off. This wisdom, this idea of wisdom making wise decisions, it's contagious. And if you surround yourself with people who are making wise decisions, you're going to begin to make wise decisions. And it's interesting because he continues and he talks about a fool, but it's not exactly a parallel. Because as he continues, he doesn't say, but a companion of fools will become a fool. It's not what he says. As he goes on, he doesn't say, listen, you need to understand something. If you hang out with wise people, you're going to make wise decisions. If you hang out with foolish people, you're going to make foolish decisions. That's not the comparison that he makes. He says, if you hang out with wise people, it's going to rub off on you, and you're going to start making wise decisions. He says, but if you hang out with a fool, if your companion is a fool, you're going to suffer harm. And you know what? You may continue to make the right decisions, but you're going to suffer harm. He says, listen, you need to understand something about this idea of friendship and who you're spending your life with, who you're living life with. He says, the person who chooses to live life surrounded by fools may continue to make wise decisions, but you need to realize that when their life blows up, it's going to blow your life up as well. And the companion of a fool will always suffer harm. And I bet if we were to go around this room, we could tell story after story after story of people that we've seen experience this. I bet for a lot of us, we could go around this room and tell stories of people who, you know what? They didn't make the choice to drink and drive. They didn't make the choice to get behind that wheel. But they found themselves in the companionship of someone who did. And it was their life that was lost. And Solomon, as he's writing this, he's saying, listen, I want you to understand something. Make no mistake about this. He says, even if you're making the right decisions, if you're a companion of a fool, it's going to bring you harm. It's going to bring danger to your life. And the truth is, as we've been telling stories for the last couple months, and if you've been here for the last couple months, there have been several weeks where we've just had times where we told stories. And you've heard story after story after story of person and person after person after person stand up on this stage, and they've talked about how friendship has impacted their lives. And there are so many times when we have baptisms and someone steps up here and says, you know what? So-and-so stepped into my life and their influence on my life has changed me entirely, and I'm here today because of this person. Friendship has an incredible ability to bring us joy and peace. But the writer of Proverbs wants us to realize that just as true as that is, it's also true that friendship has the ability to destroy our lives if we're not very, very careful. And for a lot of us, for some of you, as you sit here today, there are faces that are beginning to pop into your head. And there are people that you know in your life that you're like, wow, yeah, that person's a fool. And you laugh about it and don't tell anyone about this, right? This isn't something you should share with other people, but it's true. In your mind, it's popping off, right? Because you realize they make decisions. They never, ever think about how it's going to impact their life. They never, ever think about how it's going to impact their direction. And you look at their life and you're like, man, it doesn't seem like they care about their life at all. And the interesting thing is that as you dive into Proverbs and you listen to how Proverbs talks about this person, a fool, he says, there's one point where the Bible actually tells us, don't even worry about trying to correct a fool. Because they're not working on the basis of logic. They're just acting in the moment based on how they feel. And the truth is that for all of us, no matter who you are, at some point in your life, you're going to find yourself in a situation in the midst of a group of people who are moving exactly the opposite direction you are. And if we don't learn how to be able to create space in those relationships, they will take you out. And for some of you, you're living your life and you look at the life you're living and you're like, I don't understand why I'm constantly in the middle of drama. For some of you, it's because you're making bad decisions. For some of you, you're this person. For others of you, it's not because you're making bad decisions, but because you're not listening to what God's word has to say here in Proverbs. And even though you're making all the right decisions, your life is blowing up time and time and time again because you're a companion of fools. And so what I want to do today as we look at this verse is I want to kind of build on this, and I want to share with you five things that I learned from a pastor and a teacher who I have a great amount of respect for. Five things that I think will allow us to create space, five guardrails that I believe we can begin to build into our lives that will keep us from danger. And like I said, we're not working off of the exact physical definition of a guardrail. Last week as we talked through this, we kind of changed the definition a little bit. And so for us, a guardrail changed just slightly to where when we talk about a guardrail, the meaning that we're using is a personal standard of behavior that becomes a matter of conscience. And so when I say, okay, let's begin to build these guardrails in our lives, I'm talking about, okay, in this friendship, I'm about to share with you five different things that, you know what, this isn't for everybody, this is specifically for you. This isn't for you to teach someone else, this is for you. And something that we're going to begin to build into our personal standard of behavior so that when we begin to run up against these things, we feel danger before we actually even get to the danger. And so what I want to do with you this morning is I want to share five different things that I believe as it pertains to this area of friendship will keep us safe. Five guardrails that we can begin to build in where when we run up against these things, we'll realize, wait a second, something's wrong. And all of a sudden, there will be little red flags and flashes going off that say, wait a second, maybe we need to create space. The first of these things is this. It says, when it dawns on you that your core group is not moving in the direction that you want to be moving. Okay, when am I going to begin to experience these red flags and these flashes, right? What are these guardrails going to be? Listen, when you begin to run up against this situation where all of a sudden your entire core group is moving the opposite direction of the way you want to be headed, that should be a guardrail. When you realize that the people who are closest to you, the people that you share everything with, are headed in their life a totally different direction than you are, that should be a guardrail. And for a lot of us, we've watched and we've seen in other people's lives, because the really crazy thing about this friendship one is that it's really easy to see in other people's lives, right? Like, you've probably had conversations with your friends, and you're like, you know what? I really think that you should probably stay away from that group of people, because it's really easy to see in our friends' lives, in our kids' lives, in everyone around us, in their lives. It's really easy to see how this is playing out. And so you're like, listen, you need to understand, those people aren't headed the direction that you're headed, but it can be really hard to see in our life. Because we like to think that we're going to be the exception to the rule. That, you know what, I know that other people have been really hurt by the people that they surround themselves with, but I'm going to be the exception to the rule. And so we hang out and we realize that everyone around us is kind of moving a different direction than we are. But we're like, you know what? I'm okay. I'm going to be able to make it. And then one day we wake up and we're not at all the person that we wanted to be. One day we wake up and we find ourselves in a situation where we never ever dreamed we would be. And we say, what happened? The first guardrail is when you find yourself, when the people who are closest to you, when they're headed the opposite direction that you want to be headed, you need to create space. And there should be alarms that are going off in your head. This is one of the reasons why over and over and over again at Hoboken Grace, we talk about dinner groups. Because a dinner group is a place where you can begin to build relationships with people who are headed the same direction you're headed. And you can begin to reform a new core group. Because the truth is that you can have an incredible impact on those friends who are headed the opposite direction if you have a core group of people who are moving in the right direction. And some of you, you're sitting here and you're like, Chris, this doesn't make any sense. I mean, you told me a couple months ago that I need to be at more parties. And now you're telling me that I need to get out of this core group of people that I've met at these parties. This doesn't make any sense. And you say, wait a second, how does this fit together? It has to do with who's closest to you. It has to do with who it is that you're letting your guard down with. It has to do with who it is that's influencing you. And we never want to get to the point where we're only friends with people who are headed the same direction we are. That's not at all what this book is about. But when it comes to who's the closest to us, who is our core group of friends, we need to make sure that those people are headed where we want to be headed. And for some of you, you need to begin to form a new core group. You need to dive into this idea of dinner groups and say, you know what? I'm going to begin to make sure that those who are closest to me are living the life that I want to be living. And so the first of those guardrails is moving the same direction you are. The second one is when you begin to catch yourself pretending to be someone you aren't. And if you have your notes card with you, hopefully you're jotting these down. Inside your program, there's a little notes card for you to begin to write these things down on, right? But when you find yourself in a situation, this is the second guard, when you find yourself in a situation where you're pretending to be someone that you're not, and all of a sudden you kind of start misrepresenting who you are to the people around you, and you're not necessarily like completely lying to them, you know, but you're with a group of people and they're like, you know, well, we're going to get together and do this on Sunday morning. And you're like, well, I can't really, I'm not available on Sunday morning because, you know, like I have stuff to do. And they're like, what stuff do you have to do on Sunday morning? I have stuff to do and like Saturday nights can be late. So I probably am going to sleep in. I don't know. Right? Like you find yourself in a situation, we've all been there. Every single one of us has been there, right? You're misrepresenting yourself to the people that you're with. And all of a sudden, you begin to realize that you're pretending. One of the things that often happens in this situation is that you'll have a friend who comes with you and sees you with this group of people. And your friend will often turn to you after the situation and say, listen, you seem to be someone totally different when you're with that group of people. When you have a friend say that to you, there should be explosions going off in your head. That should be a guardrail. Why? Because you're in danger? Not necessarily, but you're getting close. And so the second one is when you're pretending to be someone that you're not. The third one is when you feel pressure to compromise. Now, here's the tricky part about this, because a lot of us will be in situations and we're like, okay, you know, as soon as I make a bad decision, as soon as I actually compromise, then I'll change direction. But that's not what this guardrail is about. This guardrail isn't when you compromise. This guardrail is when you begin to think about compromising. And so you find yourself with a group of people or around a group of people or in a core group of people, and all of a sudden you're beginning to think about things that you never would have thought about doing before. That's a guardrail. And you realize, wait a second, something, there's danger here. I've got to create space. And all of us have been in these situations, and we've begun to think about it, and we've begun to think about it, and we're like, oh, but I'm never going to do that. But all of a sudden, it's become more and more tempting, and more and more tempting, and we're like, but I'm never going to make that decision. I may be with people who are making that decision, but I'm not going to make that decision. And then all of a sudden, we wake up one day, and we look back, and we're like, I can't believe that happened. And we've fallen off the edge. And God says, listen, don't turn around after you've fallen off the edge. Build these things into your life where you're going to begin to bump up against them before you get to the edge. So when you begin to think about things that you never would have thought about doing before, when all of a sudden things that before were totally off the list, totally incomprehensible to you, when all of a sudden they become a temptation, we need to begin to create space. We need to begin to move the opposite direction. And then the next one, when you hear yourself saying, I'll go, but I won't participate. When you find yourself in a situation and you're like, you know what, I'm going to go, but I'll just kind of stay on the fringe. You find yourself in a situation saying, you know, I realize there's going to be a lot of decisions being made there that I don't want to make, but I'll go, but I'll just kind of separate myself from the crowd. And I'll be honest with you guys, there are going to be times, and I believe that there are times, where we're going to be a part of things, and you're going to find yourself in situations where you're a part of things that you're just like, you know, I'm here, but I'm not going to participate. And I think that needs to be a part of what we're doing. I mean, I'm constantly trying to build bridges with people who I'm making friends with in the community here. And there are some times where they invite me to parties, and I'm like, you know what? I realize that there's going to be a point in this party where I'm going to have to leave because I can't be a part of this anymore. But I'm going to go. And I'm going to be a part of this in this situation, even though I'm going to be making different decisions than they are. I think that this is going to have to be a part of what we're doing if we're going to impact our city. But when you find yourself in that situation, there should be some red flags that are coming up. And you should realize, you know what, I've got to create some safety systems for myself in these situations. And so as we're having this conversation, and we've been having this conversation with our leaders for quite some time, and one of the things that I tell them over and over again is if you find yourself in that situation, you had better make sure that there's somebody there with you, somebody who's a part of your core group, who's going to be able to make sure that you're safe. Who's going to be able to make sure that when you hit that guardrail, you stop. And you don't end up going over the edge. And then the last one, when you hope the people you care about the most don't find out where you've been or who you've been with. When you begin to hope, man, I hope my grandmother never, ever finds out where I was tonight. When you walk into a situation and already in your head, you're like, man, if this gets posted to my Facebook and my grandmother finds out that I was here, how am I going to explain this to her? And you start forming a story in your head that you're going to be able to share with her, right? Because this is the truth. I mean, this is kind of the situation in which we find ourselves, which is great for those of us who are parents now because we realize it's only going to get better, right? The people that you love have an incredible ability to find out what you're doing and where you've been, right? Like for most of you, your nightmare became a reality when your mother got Facebook. Right? And you're hoping that no one ever, ever explains to her how Twitter works. And the great thing about this as parents is that I'm pretty sure that by the time Caden begins to make friends, I'm going to be able to watch him in real time wherever he is. Right? As parents, this technology is incredible. But when you find yourself in a situation, and you find yourself heading somewhere, and you're like, man, I hope that the people who care about me never, ever find out who I was with or what I was a part of tonight, that's a guardrail. And it's one of those things where when you start to run up against that, there should be a crash. And it shouldn't happen after you're there long enough for you to be influenced over the edge. It should happen before you even get to the edge. And if we can begin to build these things into our lives, we'll be able to look at this passage in Proverbs chapter 13. We'll be able to live our lives and look at what God says about not being a companion of fools. And we'll be able to allow that to guide us and direct us so that we can begin to make the most of every single day. And for some of you, you're here today, and right now you're thinking to yourself, man, I wish I hadn't come. I wish I hadn't come. I wish I hadn't come. I can't, because there are things popping up in your head, and you're like, man, I should probably do something about this situation. If that's you and you're sitting here and you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do, let me tell you something. When you walk out of here, you're going to have a choice of what you're going to do with what you've heard today. And we can begin to either build these guardrails in our lives and allow God to direct us and protect us. Or a couple years from now, you can look back on this day and say, man, I wish I'd built those guardrails. You say, no, no one ever regrets building guardrails. But for most of us, if we were to look back on the life that we've led, if we were to look back at our greatest regrets, the truth is they probably could have and they probably would have been avoided if we had begun to build into our lives some personal standards of behavior that informed our conscience. If we stopped asking, how close can I get to sin? How close can I get to the edge without falling over? And this is the tricky thing about our culture, because our culture says, listen, just go a little bit further. Just go a little bit further. It's not wrong yet. It's not wrong yet. It's not wrong yet. And it baits us, and it baits us, and it baits us, and it draws us further and further out and closer to the cliff. And then you fall off, and it looks at you and mocks you and says, I can't believe you did that. And so you're at the office, and the culture says, no, it's okay to have that relationship with her. Even though she's not your wife, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. You can keep having that conversation with her. There's nothing wrong with this situation. Until one day you fall off the edge of that cliff, and they look at you and say, I can't believe you cheated on your wife. Culture looks at us and says, no, you deserve that. You deserve that purse. You deserve those shoes. You deserve that house. Everyone should own a house. And you deserve. And you should spend. And you should do this. And you keep walking closer and closer and closer. And then one day you fall over the edge. And they look at you and say, I can't believe they declared bankruptcy. Because in our culture, this idea of guardrails isn't really popular. And you're sitting here and you're like, I know what I need to do. I know the situations that he's talking about. And I know something needs to change, but I don't have any idea how to communicate it. Because this is really hard to communicate to the people around you, right? But you have to. And here's the trick about this whole thing. The lie is you're never going to be able to love that person if you create space. The lie is that you have to be in that situation with that person in order to help them. The lie is that you've got to be a part of that group if you're going to be able to help that group realize how great God is and how much God wants to love them. And that lie will keep you walking closer and closer and closer to the edge. But what God says is, listen, there are going to be times when you're going to have to create space. There are going to be times when you have to build those guardrails, where you're going to have to say, okay, listen, I can't be a companion of this person in these situations. And the really cool thing about this, and I've seen it happen so many times, I can't even count, is that when you have that initial conversation, it's not going to go all that well. I'll be honest with you, right? I mean, if you've been in a situation where you've had a conversation with your friend where you said, you know what, I just need to kind of, I can't really go there with you. I just, it's not a safe place for me to be. If you've been in one of those conversations and it went really well and your friend was like, oh, wow, that's cool. You know, like, I totally respect that. Like, yeah, like, I understand. I'm making bad decisions and you don't want to make those bad decisions. And If that's you, come talk to me afterwards because I'd like to hear that story. It doesn't usually go that way, and I'm going to tell you when you have these conversations, it's probably not going to go that way. And you're going to walk away from that situation and you're going to be like, I don't understand, God. How am I going to be able to love this person in this situation? I mean, they're walking away from me. They're really offended and kind of a little bit hurt by what just happened. And you're like, God, I don't understand. And what's going to happen? And I'm telling you, I've seen this over and over and over again. They're going to walk that direction and their life is going to blow up. And they're going to look for one solid person in their life. And they're going to look around with everyone who's beside them, and their life is going to have blown up, and the lives of everyone around them is going to be blowing up. And they're going to begin to scramble for one solid person. And if you can be the one who built those guardrails in, guess who they're going to come talk to? You. And you're going to be the one who begins to help them come back to what's safe. I've watched this happen so many times. And my wife, Anna, is incredible at this. And I can't tell you how many times she's had to have conversations with friends and friends of friends where she said, you know what, I can't be a part of this. I can't really go there. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to change who I am. And you know what? Those conversations have been all the way from just a little bit ugly and a little bit uncomfortable to really ugly and really uncomfortable. But I can tell you, over and over again, night after night after night, people call Anna and wake me up in the middle of the night because their life's blowing up and they know she's the only one who's safe. And in your life, this idea of friendship has an incredible capacity for good. But it can also be really dangerous. You have to begin to form guardrails. And God, as your Father, is stepping into your life and saying, listen, I want to guide you and I want to direct you. I want you to make the most of every single day if you'll follow me. That's the invitation. And it's an invitation to a life you'll never regret. Will you pray with me? Father, sometimes as we walk through this, it can be really hard to understand how this is loving. And it can be really hard to understand, okay, how am I going to do this and still impact those around me? And yet we've seen over and over and over again how this works out in our lives. And for some of us, even as we're sitting here today, there are regrets that we have in our lives because we didn't have guardrails when it came to our friendships and our relationships. And so, Father, today I pray that as we come to this point, as we look at this passage, I pray that this would be something that we would memorize, that this would burn into our heads. And that we would begin to build these guardrails into our life. And we'd realize that this is the most loving thing we could possibly do for those around us. And we'd realize that this is the most compassionate thing that we can do for our friends and our family and for those that we love. Father, I thank you so much for how you're loving us through this, how you're guiding us in this. I pray that we would be able to walk out of here today and begin to put into practice what you've given us in Proverbs. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you guys stand with